Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Gavin Emmett, and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast from the Sepang International Circuit in Malaysia. Here's how the MotoGP race was won. Andrea Dovizioso is the king of Malaysia here, and to the delight of his team, takes it over Valentino Rossi in second place. We wait for Jorge Lorenzo, the man who inherited third place. Well, I'm joined by those two men, Julian Ryder and Keith Ewan, for this chat. And MotoGP's nearly, man. Andrea Dovizioso finally gets the victory we've all been expecting. A ninth winner of this remarkable 2016 season. And for Andrea Dovizioso, Keith, his second ever MotoGP win, but first since 2009, it's got to be some relief for him and for Ducati as well.
Massive relief, I would think. Ducati obviously knew what they were doing when they signed him for alongside Lorenzo. Was it for race winning or was it for backing Lorenzo up in a championship winning year as they see it next year in 2017? I think probably the latter. I still believe that Andrea Iannone had more potential later on, even though he's controversial. But I think they went with a softer option when it came to a rider for next year. But you wouldn't bet against a man like Dovizioso in a situation like he was in. What I think was remarkable was the comments that Valentino made afterwards, and I think Jules and I discussed this quite a bit, was the fact that as the track got slightly drier, the Yamaha couldn't use the front end quite as well. It was getting worse for him grip-wise, whereas it looked like it was getting better for the Ducati. Maybe them wings that they're going to lose next year were a big advantage here in Malaysia.
It's something we saw all weekend, wasn't it, Julian, that when the track went from fully wet into that towards the dry, but you were in the mixed level. There were a few issues there with tyres not getting the same grip out.
Yeah, the Dunlops as well as the Michelin seem to find a problem there. We'll need to talk to the tyre engineers a bit more about that because it's kind of counterintuitive whether the rearwards weight bias of the Ducati helped not overload the front.
Well, it just seemed to me Dovizioso, his lap times were actually quite consistent. It wasn't like he got any quicker at the end. He just managed
it worked all the way.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas Rossi didn't feel he could push. But what about his performance, though, Dovizioso? He stalked them, didn't he?
He did.
He sat behind and then made his move at the right time.
He sat in third place, and we talked about that during commentary, that Dovizioso was well placed all the way through it. What my fear for Dovizioso was, and as it turned out, it was unfounded, was that Valentino was an old master at snapping straight back. No doubt about it, Ducati had the power to pass at any straight, but Valentino is an old hand at snapping straight back and not letting someone like Dovizioso get into his rhythm. But the mistake he made at turn one let Dovizioso off the hook.
Yeah, and as soon as Dovizioso had a couple of straights without being impeded to unleash the Ducati on, there's the gap.
And the fact that Andrea Iannone did crash, I'm just thinking about Ducati and their decision of who they're keeping for next year. Look at where they are in the championship. Dovizioso's in fifth and Iannone way down the order.
Hang on a minute. Let's just consider this properly, shall we? The fact was, how long's he been off? That's his first race in how long? And he's injured.
Four races.
And he comes back and does that. And he's a potential race winner.
But he hasn't been there. Dovizioso's someone who doesn't miss races.
That's a fact. I can understand that. But at the end of the day, surely you're looking for race winner. They have obviously banked on Lorenzo being their man for next year.
Of course.
And again, once again, Jorge has shown, and he was at the end of the day, he said he was lucky to finish third. And he was lucky. I'm really pleased. His speech at the end in Parc Fermé, I thought it was brilliant. Really honest, really upfront, really straightforward. Fact was, he considered himself to be lucky to finish third. That doesn't bode well for next year. If that Ducati is difficult for him next year, I don't know where we're going with it. It'd be very, very interesting.
It's going to be very interesting to see what Delinea and Lorenzo do over winter. Don't forget their previous with that wonderful 250 Aprilia, two championships together. There's got to be some interesting moves.
But he was in sixth throughout the whole race. That's a lot better than the 14s, the 15s and beyond that we saw in other wet races this season. No, I'm just wondering, is it rebuilding? Is that confidence coming back to him?
You've got to look at that yourself, haven't you, really? No. I mean, it might be coming back to him. It might still be there. I mean, the fact is we're in Malaysia where the tyre temperature is there all along. He should have the confidence in the front end here. I can understand it in Phillip Island, the way he rides a motorbike and the fact if he doesn't get the heat in a Michelin. For sure, it's a Michelin thing that he's got at the moment. But, I mean, not being able to test. Yamaha have vetoed his test on that Ducati until next year when he's out of contract with Yamaha. He's allowed to have a little wobble around for 6 hours on a Valencia test after the Ricardo Tormo meeting in 2 weeks' time. But yeah, there's so much work that they've got to do with Jorge Lorenzo. And if they are not lucky enough to hit a sweet spot, sure, they've got a plan. Sure, they've got stuff up their sleeve already waiting for Lorenzo. But if they do not hit a sweet spot early on, he's not a potential world champion on a Ducati next year.
But not the first year, no.
They won't have a runner-up either because Valentino Rossi sealed second place in the championship. But however confused Jorge Lorenzo might have been about that. We asked, obviously, Valentino Rossi about that. We'll hear his interview in a second. He said it did matter to take second place ahead of his teammate. But you got the feeling, didn't you, today, that Rossi felt he possibly should have won it and technical things were in his way?
My feeling has always been that Valentino will, of course, say, yes, I want to beat Lorenzo. Of course, I'd rather be second in the championship. But what he really wants to do is win a couple of races that are left this year.
He was unlucky today, really, with that. The way things panned out for so many different people. I mean, Cal Crutchlow's luck ran out again. He tried as hard as he could. Iannone, you've already spoken about. But once again, Marc Marquez, two on the trot now. He's chucked it up the street. You know, so luck, yeah, it comes into it. But at the end of the day...
The two fast Hondas, both, again, on the floor. And you always think, how have we found another... element to the Honda problem.
We have had a unique year. I cannot remember a year where we've had so many variable conditions on what is brand new tyres, brand new electronics. These guys are all discovering the boundaries of all that, all those parameters. And I mean, we've never quite seen a meeting. Yeah, it rains here every time. But the way this brand new track surface is shaping up, the way that it seems to have more grip fully wet than it does when it's half wet, very, very tricky for people to get their heads around so quickly.
And we can't criticise Cal too much, can we, for slipping out today, especially after having delivered a win last time out.
Yeah, but the trouble is now expectation is so high. Yeah. We're expecting them.
But he did well, didn't he, in the first place, to even get up to fifth in the grid, picking the bike, a bent bike up from the gravel to put it on the second row.
We always know Cal can do that. He can always give you one lap for your life. He's the modern-day Loris Capirossi. If you had to bet the mortgage on one bloke for one lap, it'd nowadays be Cal Crutchlow.
He just didn't get his momentum. It's all about rhythm in situations like this wet weather. It's about finding the rhythm. You're chasing the track all the time. It's finding the rhythm, those little degrees of advantage, and Cal just didn't quite get going.
Yeah, he was mired back with Lorenzo. He got past him and started to come across the gap and then crashed. So... that backs up what you say.
And Marquez will be relieved he wrapped it up in Japan now, won't he, with two DNFs in the last two?
Yeah, he's had a sick weekend, quite literally, hasn't he? I mean, we don't know really to the degree that he has been ill. I mean, to really miss effectively a couple of days or feeling not himself for 2 days and then having a race in them conditions, pretty tricky.
He didn't look the best, actually, before the race.
He looked a bit peaky, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He looked a little bit white. Right, let's hear from the men who finished on the podium today. Andrea Dovizioso, Valentino Rossi and Jorge Lorenzo. Yeah, Andrea, congratulations on that second victory, but more than anything, your first of this season. Show me your hands, first of all. Look at the state of this. We know that you fight so much with that Ducati bike over this season. And towards the end of that race, Valentino just then saying he had some tyre problems. You didn't seem to have any. Tell us how you managed to get through to the end.
Well, the reality is I have a small problem from the first lap on the right when I make a maximum angle, and I was very scared about that, but didn't become worse, so... Everything was good, and my bike was work very well. I couldn't be really the fastest, but I was able to keep the same speed from the beginning to the end. Well, the last victory it was 2009, and takes too many years. But now, when you feel that the feeling when you win. All the negative things happened during the years go away, and I'm so happy for Ducati, because in the last 4 years we struggled a lot, but now we come back really strong and we want to fight for the championship in the future. So really happy, and thank you to everybody, because we fight a lot, but now the good feeling is even better.
We can sense that. We can tell that emotion from you. And you've been the one chosen to stay at Ducati for next year alongside Jorge Lorenzo. Did you feel it was important to get a victory for them this year to justify that?
Well, for me, no. For this world, yes. This is the reality. Because for me, the victory is always very important for everybody, also for me. But that doesn't affect the championship. We have to be competitive every race to fight for the championship. If you win one race, it's always something very important. But doesn't mean you are competitive to fight for the championship. And we are here for that. So for me, it was really important to come back also because there was a lot of victory. This, a lot of victory, but I'm happy this happened because for everybody, they can't speak in a bad way to me.
And I just wondered how it has felt to watch eight others win this year and you not be there. We've been talking about it so long that you're going to be the ninth. You are the ninth winner this season. Has it been hard to watch?
Yeah, yes, and especially I knew I didn't have a lot of chance during the years to try to win the race because in the dry, normally we don't have a lot of chance to win, a part of Austria. So in the wet, we are very competitive. So I didn't thought really to win until the end of the season, but I always try. And yesterday I did a perfect qualifying and today a perfect race.
There's a lot of people at Ducati happy, but I'll tell you, a lot of people in the paddock and a lot of people around the world happy to see you win again, Andrea. Congratulations. Well done, Dominic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it's important to do that as well. After second place today, I'm sure you'd have loved the victory. That crowd would definitely. It was like a football crowd out there today. But you said you were suffering a few tyre problems towards the end of the race. You explained there. What did that feel like?
Yeah, you know, my first target of today was try to arrive in front of Jorge for the second place. But I want to also try to win because I feel very good with the bike from the beginning. But I have to fight a lot with Iannone, and also Iannone was fast. And after when I go in front, I was very optimistic. Mm. But when the water on the track coming less, yeah, and the temperature coming high, I was a bit in trouble with the tires, especially with the front. I had two moments, I risked too much, I did a mistake, yeah, and in that moment Dovizioso was too fast, and he go.
By my calculations, you are second in the championship, that much, yeah, is confirmed now. Yeah. I don't know if Jorge wasn't sure about
I'm not also very far from Marquez, eh?
Okay.
I'm just 42, eh?
Okay,
so we can arrive.
If we had another race, maybe at the end of the week, we cleared the test.
We need to have the race with the double point, like in Formula One.
What a silly idea that would be, Valentino. But does it matter? Does it mean anything to you?
Yeah, it's important because the battle with Lorenzo is always very, very high. We always arrive at the last race, and when you beat a rider very strong like Jorge, it's great. It's good. At the end, was a good season anyway, and I want to try also to win, but was impossible.
Valentino, thank you so much. Yes. Congratulations. Well done on second, and well done on second in the championship.
Thank you. Ciao.
Well, Jorge, you said you were lucky there to take third place, but everyone always says you have to finish the race first to ever take that look as well. What's it been like to rediscover a bit of confidence in the wet and the Michelins?
Yeah, that's true, especially on wet race, you have to finish the race, as you said. And normally in MotoGP there are not so many crashes, but today, you know, especially in the first group, has been many crashes with Iannone, Cruz, Kraslov and Marquez, and I've been lucky that all these crashes was in front of me. So give me this third place. I didn't have the same feeling than in the qualifying because was slightly more water on the track, and in some breakings I couldn't stop the bike in two or three breakings, and also in the middle of the corner I didn't have the same grip, the same confidence. So little by little I have to let them go and just be happy with this position.
You can't take second in the championship now, but we go to Valencia now, home race, special for you as well. Having won championship there in the past, are you looking forward
still,
to that?
Still I can, because I'm 19 points behind Rossi, but very difficult, no? Rossi must crash and I have to win the race or finish in second, so it's complicated. The more realistic is try to be safe in this third place, and let's see the weather if help to be more safe and to ride in the best way.
And your last race with Yamaha, of course. Are you looking forward to it? What's the feeling?
Well, will be very emotional. Will be very emotional because 8-9 years has been a lot of time, and a lot of for sure in the last laps of the race. If I can finish, I will have a lot of remembers lot of thoughts. But anyway, life is like that, and let's try to finish in the best way.
Good to see you back on the podium in the wet, Jorge. Well done.
Thank you.
It's Johan Zarco, sixth win of the year and a fine style. The world champion retains his title here in Malaysia. He is Moto2 world champion for the second time, the only man to have defended a Moto2 world title. And in second place, Morbidelli and Folger have come across the line. A double world champion at Moto2, Johan Zarco celebrates. He goes up to MotoGP next year as a world champion. That's the way to move, Clive.
So, Johan Zarco is the Moto2 champion. He made a bit of a meal of it, didn't he? But the first man to retain the title in the end and doing it a race early. Can't have been too bad, but with a few nerves creeping in.
Bit of a meal of it, you know, earlier on, but this meeting he's been imperious. I mean, there has never been anybody that set a pole time in the intermediate class, 250s or Moto2, that was bigger. 2.2 seconds back to the second qualifier. Yeah, no one has ever done that. There's never been that big a gap.
Biggest gap we could run is about 1.3 seconds. And that was
going back to
Kato. Go to Kato, wasn't it, in Japan?
But it's a situation where he stamped his name all over it straight away. And then in the race, I thought he was in a perfect position for just taking it, cruising away, no drama at all. But he obviously had so much pace in hand, he felt he had to go out and do it in style,
but
didn't he?
All champions, that's what they want, to take the title with a win.
Absolutely.
Just not the same in second place, is
it? First man to defend a Moto2 title, first Frenchman to win more than one world title.
So we were talking this year, we've been talking about having a few doubts about him going up into MotoGP and what he might be capable of. Going up as a double world champion, well, the last person to do that was Jorge Lorenzo. Before that, it was Danny Pedrosa. Yeah. Has he got a bright future in MotoGP ahead of him?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? At the end of the day, going up as a double world champion for Hervé Poncharal, I'm looking more at the business angle of this. Tech 3, they need somebody to hang a tag on when he goes up there. Sponsorship already, all the deals that Hervé's doing in the winter are going to come to fruition. We've got a double world champion. We've got Folger, who's coming in as well, looks quite quick. So he's with the right team. I just think French speaker in a French-speaking team, Hervé Poncharal managing it, I think the whole thing is going to work really well for him.
And it won't be fair if Franco Morbidelli doesn't win a race or win the last race of the season in Valencia, would it? Not when we've had seven different winners this year.
Four rostrums on the bounce leading up to this race, three of them with the fastest lap. And if there was a Tour de France-style prize for aggressivité, the most aggressive rider, it would have gone to Morbidelli most weekends.
But you've got to say, Zarco, quality ending. I love the double celebration. Brought in his doppelganger and jumped. I mean, that to celebrate. And the first man to do it. What a fantastic way to finish the day for him.
I just want to mention the Brits briefly. Sam Lowe's is, by our calculations, 30th crash of the season. I don't think... I look at those stats a lot of people crashing out. I think that's a record from what I've seen over the last few years.
And he's still got a meeting, yeah?
And we've still got Valencia to go for Sam. Where's it gone wrong, do we reckon?
Trying to force it to fit, I think, with Sam. He doesn't pick up that rhythm that I keep talking about. Moto3, Moto2, MotoGP, they have all become incredibly close classes where incremental improvement is the key to it. Every mechanic you speak to, every rider you speak to that's in the top class always turned around and said it's incremental improvement. You cannot any longer take a yard out of a corner if you feel you're a bit behind. You cannot accelerate half a yard earlier out of a corner. Everyone's doing it. They're all on the limit. And Sam just sometimes pushes that fraction too hard. It's like he gets frustrated to go fast.
It's almost like he's prioritising that one quick lap for a grid position above finding the pace, finding the rhythm.
But we still think he's got it for MotoGP, do we?
Yeah, I
do.
I do. I think Sam has got it. I think he needs the winter to reset. I think he needs some testing on that Aprilia. Maybe that's what's taken his eye off the Moto2 ball.
Possibly.
You know, I think Sam Lowe's is a good rider, a very good rider. He's still got to prove a lot. But that Aprilia, as we saw today, another equal best performance for Alvaro Bautista.
Seventh place again.
Yeah, that's just going to show you that the Aprilia is coming on leaps and bounds now towards the end of the year.
And just what about Danny Kent? Quick word about him. He's fallen out pretty much now. Doesn't really talk to his chief engineer, Peter Baum, who he won the world title with. Just doesn't seem... Seems like he needs the season to end now.
Doesn't Danny have that form, though, with people he's worked with? I seem to remember there was a situation with PR and team previously.
I'm never quite sure what to make of these issues around Danny. I'm really not. But it's the bloke who took you to a world title. we're talking about.
Yeah, there's something not quite right there, is there? And he almost, you feel like you said about Sam Lowes, needs some time away.
Reset.
Yeah.
He might get less time, though, at the end of the day. He's still got to get on and do it again. I mean, that world title might just drift into the background. He's got to reset and move forward.
And move forward with the suitor, which is another thing we'll talk about in the future, I'm sure. Let's hear from double Moto2 world champion Johan Zarco. And he's fresh out of the rain. I don't know whether that's rain or champagne that he's on there, but it doesn't matter to you, does it, Johan? Twice a world champion. Congratulations. But how much did you want to do that in style by winning today?
It's been difficult all the season, and this race finally maybe was good for me to have the rain. And it was quite a lot of water on the track beginning of the race, and I was not the fastest, but I was quite happy to follow well Morbidelli, because I expect Folger stronger, but he struggled also a little bit with a lot of water, but it looks also it was more slippery than yesterday. So I could really manage well. I knew that I could be champion even second, and the track was getting dry step by lap after lap, and this makes me always a better feeling. And when Jonas was coming back, I felt comfortable enough to overtake Franco and go away. So with my line, I was faster, and it has been fantastic. So it was just fantastic race, and so happy to win. It was really, really high emotion. I usually don't cry, but I had to cry a little bit, and now this emotion is down, and I feel much better. I'm enjoying a lot, and it's also first time that we are not hot after a Malaysian race. It was so crazy, this rain on the podium, but so good.
You don't need to worry about the tears. It's raining so much, we can't tell anyway. Not that it would matter anyway, Johan. Has this championship been harder than last year?
I think so, but we say always the second one is maybe harder, but we have to remember also that the first one, it's after many years, so during many years you trust that you can be champion, but sometimes you are wondering if you can be champion, if you can win races. So maybe it's harder to get the first one, but last year I remember that I had big advantage, and every races I was taking advantage on the second. This year it was different, and we had really big pressure at the end with Luthi and Rins, and I'm pretty happy that it's down now. I will really enjoy Valencia.
And can you think about MotoGP now? Because you haven't let yourself all year.
I can think about MotoGP for sure, and will be nice to be with this Yamaha bike on the fresh team for 2017.
Johan Zarco, you are a double Moto2 world champion. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, red flag. We got a red flag. Now, I'm not happy to see that, and I have no idea why we have a red flag, but that will mean somebody is recovering something from in the middle
of the
track.
That's Maria's bike.
Yeah, and Maria's okay. That's good to see as well. That will be, with 15 laps of 18 done, that'll be a result, Jules.
So two-thirds distance.
Bagnaia and Benschneider and Kornbohl. And what a wheelie from a 250cc single-cylinder motorcycle. That is the wheelie of the week.
Wheelie of the year from Pecco Bagnaia.
Well, 31 riders started, only 17 finished it. Three of those who crashed rejoined the race, if those maths don't add up for you just quite. What went on in Moto3?
Race direction went on in Moto3. Got to ask yourself the question. They've got to ask themselves the question, and they will be looking at it. In commentary, I know that Moto3 has been a very difficult class to judge this weekend from us in a commentary position. We've made predictions, we've made calls, we've made suggestions. Near enough every single one of them has turned out to be wrong. So I absolutely sympathise with race direction. But the call that should have been made when so many riders were going down on those places that were obviously slipped. When you have multiple crashes, a red flag really is a precautionary thing. Let's take a look at what's gone wrong and then a restart. Would have given a lot of people an opportunity to investigate. Not all of them are for the same reason. And like I've just said, race direction will be analysing what went on and whether they made a mistake. Mm. There's no doubt about it. They look inwardly, they'll look outwardly, they will work on it and they will work it out.
Yeah. Pecco Bagnaia, second victory of the season. I understand he had a bit of a bet with the Aspar team that if he took two wins this year, he gets to try their Ducati after the end of season in Valencia. He's won it.
I am so impressed. I'm a fan of Pecco Bagnaia, as everybody knows, who's lent an ear to my ravings about the bloke recently. And good on the Aspar team for giving him a reward.
Well, for me, it's Mahindra that gets the big up. Yes. You know, that Mahindra in Phillip Island and here in difficult conditions has looked like a motorcycle that you would love to ride. I mean, we talked about the Suzuki in MotoGP like that. It certainly looks to me like the Mahindra's the one. It's a situation where the manufacturers, you know, all the Hondas were fully sold out, all the KTMs are fully sold out. The third bike that you would choose if you couldn't get one of the others was a Mahindra.
Yep.
Well, they might have you fooled next year. It might be the Mahindra, might be the bike of 2017.
We have a Mahindra lying third in the world championship now with Pecco Bagnaia.
Yeah, it says a lot about...
KTM's won it, and Honda's second.
It says a lot about both parties, isn't it? The bike and the rider as well, of course. We knew no moves up to Moto2 next year. Just a quick question. You went talk about race direction there. Where was the red flag? Should it have been out?
In Moto3.
You have to remember is race direction have more information than we have. They have corner information, they have sector information, they have, you know, they're looking at the cameras all the time to see what's going on. From my own personal opinion in commentary, I said yes, I expected a red flag. I expected to see a red flag.
I think we both did. There were four guys down in the same, having the same crash, basically. That does tell you there's something down. Race direction said there was an oil flag out on that corner, reduced adhesion.
Which might be the same thing in this circumstance. We don't know because that hasn't been proved yet.
Indeed.
But I think the significant part was Bagnaia at the end when you asked him, I think, Gav, whether there should have been a red flag. And he said, well, I think so, but I'm glad there wasn't, effectively, I thought was quite funny.
Remarkably honest of a bloke who's just won a Grand Prix.
Yeah, who can blame him? With Jakob Kornfeil and Ben Snyder on the podium alongside him, three very happy men on the MotoGP podium. Well, that's it from the three flyaway rounds. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time at the final round of the year in Valencia. We'll see you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.